now, the man behind the voice you've been hearing for decades associated with Valley sports teams. It's time for That's So Money with Arizona Diamondbacks and ASU broadcaster Jeff Munn.
Well, hi there. And I know the first thing you're saying is, gee, where has he been? We almost thought that Jeff Munn wasn't doing a podcast on Sports360AZ.com. Well, for a while I wasn't. And there are just a lot of things that were diverting my attention. So I wasn't doing a podcast. But yeah, it's time for me to do one again. And time for me to make this a more regular occurrence. And what I'd like to do is do this weekly and just share with you some thoughts that are rolling through my head about things that I observe in the sports world. Now, for those who haven't checked out this podcast before, I want to preface something before I get into just talking about things that are going on. I don't claim to be an expert. Yes, I do have a track record in Phoenix sports media and Phoenix media in general that might give me a little bit more of a closer view or a different perspective than the average fan would have. But I don't want you to listen to what I'm saying and say to yourself, well, gee, he's an expert. He knows more than I do. No, I don't. I value the opinions of everyone I talk to, and I like hearing different perspectives and different ideas on a variety of sports topics. So, yeah, I'm the one holding the microphone, and I'm the one that has the podcast on the website, but I want you to understand that I'm not taking this from the perspective of I know more than you do, because I know, and you know, that I don't. But here's how I see things as we sit here, and I'm taping this the Friday before the Super Bowl. In fact, I'm sitting here at my computer, and I'm watching Roger Goodell's State of the League press conference, which is always the Friday event of Super Bowl week. I used to sit and watch this event every year, and it was the one thing I really wanted to see. And now I'm sitting here, and I'm thinking, why? Because nothing really substantial ever comes out of the State of the League news conference. And now that the Rams have moved to Los Angeles, there is the obligatory question about when is the NFL coming to Los Angeles. So now there really isn't a reason to watch the State of the League news conference, except for one thing, and I turned it off, so I don't know whether or not they'll get around to this. But the story about the Raiders potentially moving to Las Vegas, it's really interesting to me because this is something I've talked about privately with a lot of people about Las Vegas as a sports market. I've said for the longest time that the National Hockey League should do whatever was within their power to get a team into Las Vegas as soon as humanly possible. And the reason for that is very simple. The team that gets there first is going to own the city's heart. And you can look at Phoenix as an example. I've heard this discussion come up recently because of the struggles of the Suns and the success of the Cardinals as to whether or not this is a Cardinal town or it's a Suns town or a Diamondbacks town. And unfortunately, the Coyotes don't come into that discussion very much. But really, yes, the Cardinals are commanding a lot of the attention right now, and deservedly so. But I've contended for a long time and will continue to do so that if you cut right into the soul of this city, however you would go about doing that, the Suns are still first in the hearts of a lot of people. And why? Very simple. They got here first. They've been here the longest. For a long time and for almost a generation, they were the only pro sports team of any consequence in town. Oh, there were indoor soccer teams and the USFL and an attempt at the World Hockey Association in hockey. But come on, in seriousness, the team that got here first and has had the deepest roots are the Suns. And while we are a transient society or a community, a lot of people move here from other cities all the time. Still, at its core, Phoenix is a Suns town because they got here first. Now, with the story about the Raiders looking at Las Vegas, two things you need to understand. Number one, if the NFL approves such an idea, pro football in Las Vegas, there will be a stadium built almost immediately. I mean, as immediate as you could build a stadium. And why? Because those casinos in Las Vegas, they've got the money to do it. And if the franchise is awarded to Las Vegas or a franchise is told it is moving to Las Vegas, there'll be shovels in the ground almost immediately. There won't be any decision about where to build the stadium. There won't be any lengthy city council sessions. They will put shovels in the ground. So the National Hockey League better take this as a warning, and they better get a team in Las Vegas as soon as possible. The good news is, for those of us here, I don't think it's going to be the Coyotes. I really think that after this season is over, and it's still up in the air whether or not the Coyotes will grab a playoff berth, I really do think that something is going to be done to solidify the future of this franchise in terms of a playing facility. Either they're going to end things with Glendale, or tied to that, they're going to figure out a way to solve things with Glendale. And if they do break away, I really do think they'll come back to downtown Phoenix, and the city of Phoenix with the Suns and the Coyotes will work to put together a state-of-the-art facility that can house hockey and basketball. So it won't be the Coyotes going to Las Vegas, not in my view. But there are other franchises in the league that are struggling. Florida Panthers just really don't draw well consistently, and so they have to be looked at as a prime candidate for relocation. There are other examples of teams around the league that do struggle at the gate and should be looked at as relocation candidates. And to me, with all due respect to the people in Quebec City and Canada, Las Vegas has to be at the front of the line. The other thing for the NHL that would be beneficial is all the publicity that would come from having a team in Las Vegas. And if you're the National Hockey League, you would also be willing to go up there and be kind of the guinea pig for how a major pro sports league would do in the gambling mecca. If you're the NFL, Major League Baseball, or the NBA, you'd watch how the NHL basically dealt with the aspect of gambling in a city just to see how they would adapt and what impact there would be. Now, I don't believe there's a lot of hockey gambling going on in Las Vegas, so the impact may be minimal. But I would be interested in seeing just how that would all unfold, and it would be a little easier to gauge with a National Hockey League team than with the NFL. But all these concerns about, well, the NFL can't go to Vegas, you know, all the impact of gambling and all the potential concerns, as you've seen many, many times over the years, the NFL is pretty close to bulletproof. I mean, wasn't it a year ago that there was a firestorm around Roger Goodell? And Roger Goodell wasn't going to survive the year because of all the incidents involving players like Ray Rice and Greg Hardy. And now a year later, while he's still not very popular amongst a lot of people, Goodell's footing is stronger in the job. The league continues to make money hand over fist. They just reached a new deal for Thursday Night Football with two networks. The product is very much in demand. So, yeah, the NFL's bulletproof. They could go to Las Vegas, and it would not be an issue in terms of dealing with the gambling community in Las Vegas. So, that bears watching. Yes, I've been keeping an eye on the Suns, and it's been a disappointing year, to say the least. But I will say this, and I'm not suggesting that the Suns are already thinking in these terms, but if it turns out that they end up with a high lottery draft pick, I would just point out to you that the emphasis on the draft is greater now in the NBA than it was several years ago. It seemed to me as if while the draft was still an important element in building a team, the draft had become so heavy with foreign players who could go into the draft at any age that it almost seemed as if the draft was losing its importance, especially as it pertained to U.S. college basketball players. But with the emergence of Ben Simmons, and you look at a year ago, and I had a chance to see Karl Anthony Towns play in Portland for the Minnesota Timberwolves about a week ago, and I'm going to tell you, that young man is a phenomenal basketball player. It becomes very obvious that teams can build a long-term future through the draft with multiple draft picks. Can't do it on the draft alone, but that is a very good place to start laying down a foundation. So while the immediate situation for the Suns is not all that bright, I do think that with a guy like Ryan McDonough, who has already had a number of successes in the draft, you could be looking at a situation that it would get better eventually, maybe not as quickly as anybody wants, but he's a guy who's capable of laying down that foundation with high draft picks. I've also had a chance to see Devin Booker play. That young man is special. And he's a draft pick, picked by Ryan McDonough. Just something to think about as we move toward the draft in June. The just completed football seasons for ASU and the Cardinals. Well, obviously the Cardinals had a phenomenal year, and I know it ended on a very bad note in Carolina, but come on, what a fantastic run for the Cardinals, for Bruce Arians, and for the organization. And think about this, and I thought about this the night of the Green Bay playoff game. You had a stadium full of fans clad in red, cheering on their team, a state-of-the-art facility, and a team playing in a postseason game, and, as it turned out, one of the most exciting postseason games in recent memory. And all of a sudden, it hit me. This is probably the very thing that not only Michael Bidwell, but Bill Bidwell was dreaming of when they made the decision at the end of the 1987 season to move from St. Louis to Phoenix. It took a while. Boy, it took a while. But they're finally there. And through Michael's leadership, a consistent track record is being established by the Cardinals in terms of competitiveness. Steve Keim has proven that he's a very adept evaluator of talent and very well suited for the general manager's role. Bruce Arians has come in and established himself in his first head coaching job. It's a little hard to imagine, but in his first real head coaching job, he's done pretty well as a leader and a guy who's up to the challenge of leading a team that's going to be competitive in the postseason. So it took a while, almost 30 years, but the Cardinals, the Bidwell family, have finally gotten to the point that they had dreamed of being at when they moved here. And I suspect in some ways it probably makes that final destination for Michael and the family a little bit sweeter. For ASU, a difficult year with a difficult loss in the Cactus Bowl to West Virginia. And I'm one of these people that we've just completed Letter of Intent Day. I don't get that caught up in Letter of Intent Day. It's fun. It's a little bit like the draft. It's fun to talk about. But the real key with a recruiting class is how they're coached up, to use the term. Now, I have great confidence in Todd Graham and a rebuilt coaching staff that they can coach these players up. Todd Graham has always established himself as a teacher first and foremost. And while there were struggles on defense, some very noticeable struggles on defense, I'm really anxious to see how Todd Graham coaches players up. We're now at the point where he's got a roster full of his own recruits. So I think it's going to be really interesting in 2016 to see the progress that Arizona State football makes. I do think they'll make progress. I don't see another 6-6 year from this football team. They have to find a quarterback. That's obvious. They have to fix things on defense. That, too, is obvious. But I want to see how this coaching staff, and in particular Todd Graham, who's always been adept at teaching, handles everything. So what do you think so far of Bobby Hurley as the head coach at Arizona State for men's basketball? One thing's for certain, and I admit I haven't been to a game in person in recent weeks because of my own travels with women's basketball, but it's obvious, even watching on television, that the energy level inside the arena has risen considerably. Bobby Hurley's having an impact in terms of getting the fan base excited. It's been a struggle because primarily Arizona State is a team that lacks size. And in the Pac-12 or in any conference, your opponents are going to know you better than anybody else. So it's been very hard for Arizona State to get any kind of advantage of any kind against teams that know them very well. It may lead to a few more rough nights the rest of the regular season. But this much can be said. As long as they maintain a winning record, with Bobby Hurley's name, I think an NIT berth is definitely within reach, and there's always the possibility of making a surprising run at the Pac-12 tournament to an NCAA tournament berth. It could happen. Now, yeah, I'm going to get in a little plug here for the team I work for. Arizona State women's basketball has had a fabulous year. And I know at the mere mention of that, some of you are going to stop and say, oh, women's basketball. Listen, come out and sample the product. There's a game tonight. There are games coming up in a couple of weeks against the Washington schools. Everybody in Tempe always says they want winning teams that are nationally ranked, that can compete for championships. Well, you've got one in women's basketball. And it'd be really great to see more of the Sun Devil fan base get out and support this team. You know, there's a lot of other good teams around in Sun Devil country. How about Sun Devil wrestling? 4 wins already this season over ranked opponents. And after that 4th one, you can't use the term upset anymore because it keeps happening so often. You've got very competitive programs in swimming and diving. Bob Bowman has come in, a world-renowned coach, and has raised the profile of that program. And Stevie Mussey takes over as the volleyball coach. She comes from Penn State, which has one of the really dominant collegiate women's volleyball programs in the country. Young, 31 years of age, but it will be really interesting to see how she comes in and builds her own program. How many times have we seen it in college athletics where an assistant from a well-established program comes to a school to become a head coach and establishes their own legacy? Could happen right here in Tempe with the ASU volleyball program. There's a lot of things that we haven't really touched on, and I'm going to come to a close here in a minute. I know a lot of you are very interested in hearing my take on baseball, even though I'm not with the Diamondbacks anymore. All right, I'll give you 30 seconds here before we close it out. Obviously, the acquisitions of Greinke and Miller are going to dramatically improve the pitching staff. And I know that Dave Stewart would like to go out and find one more little piece for the bullpen, maybe to add a closer and move Brad Ziegler to a role where he can get a double play ball when needed. But on paper, this team looks very strong. And I love the acquisition of Gene Segura. Keep this in mind about Segura. A couple of years ago, coming off an All-Star year, he had a very solid first half in 2014. And then, just out of the All-Star break, tragedy struck his family when his 9-month-old son died back in the Dominican Republic. It was a very difficult time for Segura. He left the club for about a week, came back, was never the same player. At the same time, the Brewers were trying to sign him to a lengthy extension, and they just couldn't agree on terms. The combination of dealing with the emotions of a very hurtful, painful personal tragedy and contract negotiations, which always proved to be a distraction, probably were the main culprits in a downturn in Segura's numbers. I really think a change in scenery is going to be good for Gene Segura. He also gives the Diamondbacks speed, the threat to steal a base at any time. There are some guys that can run on that roster, A.J. Pollock, Paul Goldschmidt in particular, but nobody poses a real base-stealing threat every time they get aboard. Segura does. Also plays good defense, and if he goes back to the offensive numbers he posted in Milwaukee, it's going to be a really good pickup. And there really was a diminishing role for Aaron Hill, and it was hard to imagine Chase Anderson cracking the rotation or cracking any spot on the big league pitching staff going into 2016. So the cost outside of the minor league shortstop that the Brewers coveted may have been minimal for the Diamondbacks. I really think the acquisition of Segura could really turn out to be a great one for the Diamondbacks moving into 2016. But you know what? Pitchers and catchers report in a week. We got a lot more time to talk about baseball. Listen, like I said, I'm going to do everything I can to make this a more frequent chance for us to visit. And you're welcome to establish your thoughts through the social media channels that Sports 360 AZ provides. Again, I'm just here to tell you what's top of my mind, things that are running through my head that I view in the world of sports. But by no means am I meant to be something that's looked at as the gospel truth. I'd like to hear what you think. So utilize those social media channels. And check out sports360az.com for the latest information on a variety of sports that matter to you. I appreciate you being patient with me as I've been sorting through some things in my personal and professional life that kind of distracted me away from this podcast. And I promise we'll do this a lot more frequently in the future. I'll talk to you soon.